Merry Christmas, and welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our series titled Advent. If you would like more information on North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us on our website at nvcmd.org.
Church, if you're here for the first time, my name is Grant. I go by the call tag Pit G, which stands for Pastor in Training. I'm one of the people here at North Valley Church that do lots of different things and are involved in lots of different ways. But if you were here on lots of other Sundays, you would see a big goofy guy. He's really silly, loves to play guitar, and we all love him, and we call him Pastor Dan, or PD for short. But today, he is not here, and I knew he wasn't going to be here in advance, obviously. We were preparing ourselves. I was preparing myself for today. But I didn't find out till Thursday why he's not here. And so I thought it was really cool, so I decided I would share. PD, not me and Dan, but Pastor Dan, came from a church called Summit Trace Church. They're in Frederick. Dan led the church there for, 15 years or something like that. And was the main pastor there before he came to plant North Valley Church here. As a part of that, when he left, he transitioned Summit Trace Church to another pastor, and he came here, and what they love to do is they train up new pastors. What's up with that? Church is training pastors. Really cool, right? And so Dan got to be a part of what they call an ordination board this past week for a guy that they have been working with at Summit Trace Church that they were going towards ordaining to be a pastor. And so they met earlier in the week just to spend some time with the guy and just to affirm God's calling on his life to be a pastor. And so the young man, or I don't even know if he's a young man, I don't even know what the poor dude's name is, but the dude sat in front of a lovely board of pastors and got to answer a bajillion questions about Bible and theology, about life, about lots of things, and I think he actually passed. Go figure. So Dan, being a part of that, was excited to be able to go back to his old church to be a part of the special service they had today where they ordained they're going to lay hands and pray for the guy. And he actually got to hear him teach for the first time today. So Dan was really excited about that, spilling that to me on Thursday. And I was really excited because it's really cool to see how much Dan loves being connected to other churches in our community. To see how much Dan's heart is, what his love for in the church, and his just ability to be able to connect with other pastors, to be able to support other churches, to be able to be a part of a team who's supporting a new pastor, and for him to want to and feel comfortable enough to leave me here behind, dun, 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 but to want to go back to his old church, to sit down with people, to reconnect with people, to pray with, to support, and to listen to this new pastor preach. And so I thought it was really exciting. I thought it was really cool, and something, at least in my world, a little bit unique. And so I'm here today, and we are continuing our Advent series as I transitioned back to what I'm supposed to be talking about. And this is our second week of our Advent series. This series is going to lead all the way up to Christmas. Go figure. And last week we spoke about hope. Yep, hope. And this week the word is preparation. Preparation. Prep. Now I know like many of us, I want to take another step back. And I want to welcome my green room friends from downstairs. I think it's green room, right? Friends from downstairs who are joining us today in the service. It's really excited, so can we give a round of applause for our friends who are joining us here today, right? I get to go down and play with them sometimes and do my best to try to teach a kid's lesson, but today they get to come up to my world and see how ridiculous I am up here too, and so it's good. They get to see both sides of the crazy. And so we're talking about preparation today, and in preparation of talking about preparation, I thought a lot about preparation, and so did you catch all that? Yeah? Okay. And so I know a lot of us, we spend a lot of time in prep. We spend a lot of time working on many different things. But over my life, all whopping 33 years of it, which most of it I wasn't, the first big chunk I wasn't doing anything. But over the handful of years I've been a little bit more cognizant of what's going on around me, I've learned that preparation is really, really important. So I pulled some old pictures out of my archives of times in which I prepared to the best. If you know a little bit about me, you know that I like to do construction-y things. It's sort of like what I've grown and lived on for a while. And I don't know, there's this thing about building stuff that's kind of fun. So I like doing that kind of stuff. But I also like cooking meat in different ways. I like frying things. I like smoking things, food things. I like putting things together, right? And making the sweetest, coolest looking, and sometimes hopefully the best tasting thing in various ways. And so part of my archives are some pictures that I dug out, all right? First picture, Curtis. This is what we call drywall, one of the most arch nemesis things of me. I want to be good at it. The struggle is real. And so what you're looking at is a horrible picture of some drywall work that I didn't do, as a matter of fact. I don't want to call that out there. But this is what preparation doesn't look like. See, when you're doing drywall, the goal is to keep a wide, consistent mud joint, right? Smooth surfaces and transitions, right? And you want everything to kind of look good when it gets painted. But if you don't prepare in advance, if you're not ready, if you don't have the right tools or the right type of mud, if you're under way too much pressure to be fast and get it done because people are moving in tomorrow and we need to paint this baby, you slap a bunch of mud on a wall that looks like a bunch of mountains, and when you paint it, you know where every piece of drywall is. I know some of you know that from your experience of home buying and home. Maybe you've even attempted some drywall work in the past, to which maybe I'm hoping somebody out here is good at it because we have some to do here in the church. But if you're not, then you've done what I've done and immediately regretted your choice to try your own drywall work. It's way better to pay somebody who's really good and really fast at it. But preparation in drywall is really important to a final product, okay? Second, womb. How many of you have ever fried, again, not my picture, how many of you have ever fried, none of these are my picture, they're, just so you know, I'm just going to preload you. How many of you have ever fried a turkey? I love Thanksgiving time of year. Not only is the food good and hanging out with family's cool and blah, 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 all that stuff's cool, but I love the fire department's demos of catching turkeys on fire and porches and everything around. It's like, you know what? We're going to pretend like we dumped everything in here, turned the fire up the full bore, and just straight up throw this turkey in this burning grease and watch this inferno explode, just so everybody knows, don't fry a turkey wrong, right? But frying a turkey is really, really tricky. I've done it quite a few times. I've had fair success. I haven't created a fiery inferno yet, but the preparation is important. See, if you don't plan far enough in advance, you get your turkey, you throw it in the freezer because it's cheap in June, and coming into Thanksgiving, you're like, oh, I'm going to fry a turkey. You pull that baby out, and you don't give it sufficient time to thaw, you can get some mess, right? You can create a bit of a disaster. Now, I have overflowed the grease before. I did fry a partially frozen turkey once before, because turkeys take forever to thaw, right? You just don't, sometimes you just don't have the time, so let's just get that baby in there. It is a tricky, scary scenario to fry a turkey that's partially frozen with a lot of hot grease, right? But we know from experience, whether it's adult or kid experience, that being prepared with the turkey ahead of time will create a better final Thanksgiving product. Because a lot of times when you're not prepared, you either get fiery inferno or really crunchy, crispy, cooked on the outside, half-cooked on the inside. Not good for you. You ain't eating Thanksgiving turkey that week. We're getting carry out, right? And it's happened. It's happened. I've made mistakes, right? Okay, so preparation is important. Drywall, cooking turkeys. I think I have another one. Yeah. Now this, my friends, is out of my archives. Look how gorgeous that baby is right there. So we've seen two pictures of when you don't prep right. Some of my favorite things to do when I have the time to stare at a fire all day long or all night long is smoking various types of meats. I have this really cool vertical cabinet with an offset firebox. I do it like the old, cut the wood down in the forest and let it get dry and use my own wood. So I smoke with cherry wood that's off of my in-laws' property, but I know where the trees grew, right? I prep. I buy the meat. let me back up. Maddie buys the meat way in advance, right? I plan it out. No, let me back up. Maddie says, maybe we should smoke meat on Saturday. That's a great idea. Friday night, Thursday sometimes. Maddie's like, do you have everything you need? And I'm like, yes, let me check, right? And then I start prepping things. I get it all nice and ready. And brine, you can brine it. You can brine pork or whatever you want. You can just do a nice dry rub with some sort of base. I like hot sauce as a base. It doesn't make too spicy of meat, but it creates a beautiful flavor. You make your dry rub. You rub that baby on. You wrap her up. You get it ready. You put it in the fridge overnight. When you're getting ready in the morning, you pull it out. You let the cool kind of go away. Let it get a little bit room temperature. You get that fire ready, that smoker warmed up, everything nice and hot, and drop that baby in there and just keep the fire going forever. And when you're done, you end up with a masterpiece. And most of the time, when you're prepared, when you've practiced, when you've spent the time paying attention ahead of time, the final product is amazing. And so today, we are talking about how preparation is so important in the advent, in the arrival of Christ on earth. And so we all kind of know, I'm sure in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, there was those couple times where like I wasn't prepared, right? I wasn't prepared for dinner, and we ended up with one of those poor 9 o'clock at night dinners, right? I wasn't prepared at work, and I had to flub a meeting in front of a bunch of people, and I looked stupid. Right? It happens. I wasn't prepared, you know, for the in-laws coming over, so we're rushing like a madhouse trying to clean this place and get things together. I wasn't prepared. And so we all have story after story after story about how we know that preparation is important. How we know that we need to be prepared for what's to come. We need to be ready, watching, expecting, anticipating. We need to have things planned. We need to have the stuff together, ready, the knives sharpened. It all needs to be together for it to work right. And when we are, things go great. And when we're not, we're surprised. And so today, we're talking about preparation, and we're talking about preparation through some verses in the book of Luke. We're talking about preparation through some verses in the book of Luke. And see, leading up to the Christmas story, right, the birth of Jesus, the birth of a Savior, leading up to that, God was trying to interact with humanity, was interacting, in a lot of different ways. He walked in the garden, right? There's tons and tons of verses of how he audibly spoke to people in the Old Testament. He sent people or sent angels on behalf of him to interact, to communicate with humanity. God was pulling out all the stops to try to prepare humanity for what was coming, to try to help guide and correct, to help lead. He was pulling out all the stops, and it wasn't by accident. It was prepared. It was planned. There was a process, and God had this plan. And it didn't just end with, and you guys are crazy, you're on your own, good luck, right? No, it was, you know what? I am going to send my son. I'm going to send my son. And it wasn't just an overnight decision that Jesus was going to be born. It was planned. It was planned. Because before Jesus came someone else. Does anybody know? Oh, we're going to go straight kids' classroom. Does anybody know who came before Jesus to pave the way? Let's go! John the Baptist, right? Paving the path. And so today, we're going to be talking about John the Baptist paving the way for Jesus' arrival. And I hope that we look at it in a little bit of a different angle. Because looking through these verses and reading some commentaries, I noticed that there's actually two kind of different ways that people use these verses that we're going to look at today, that they look at them. There's a very literal translation that ties directly to John the Baptist. But there's also this kind of metaphorically application to how the words are written in the book of Luke, to how they came from the prophet Isaiah, and to how that applies to us today and to those who are anticipating the arrival of the Savior. So today we are looking at the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Dan did me light this week. This time, he actually only gave me a couple verses to read. Normally, he gives me like two chapters. He's like, good luck, Grant. Here's two chapters. You have to read all that, and even though you don't like reading in person and out loud in front of everybody, but you're going to do it. So here we go. I only got a couple. And before we jump into it, I wanted to point out that the first thing that jumped to my attention was that this wasn't just preparation, but in fact, this was preparation on preparation. And the way you get to that is because it starts with, as it is written in the words, in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, and your quotes begin. So this wasn't new news. This wasn't new news. This information that we're about to read, these words that were proclaimed, that were spoken, this was spoke well before, hundreds of years before John the Baptist and before Jesus. This came from a prophet. The prophet's words were spoken from God. So it wasn't just John the Baptist preparing the ways. It was Isaiah saying that someone was coming to prepare the way for the guy that's going to prepare the way for Jesus' arrival. And so it starts in verse 4 and says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Make straight paths for him. And so we read, obviously, okay, it's coming from the book of Isaiah. We get it. We know later on that there was one calling from the wilderness. We know that John the Baptist did that, right? He was calling from the wilderness. He was declaring to the people. That's what he was. It wasn't for fun. Like, that was his job. That's what he lived his life doing, making sure people were prepared and expecting the arrival of a Savior, expecting the arrival of Jesus. And you know, it starts with the one calling in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make straight the paths for him. A flip back into society in that time, when the king's on their chariots with their crews, right? There was always this preparation team that went out. We don't do this anymore. Preparation team that went out and prepared the path for the king, because they didn't want the king to have to go through all the bumps and over all the hills. They didn't want the guys to be tired. They typically were hauling, you know, lots of stuff and lots of cool, and the king was, you know, eating his grapes and doing his whatever, taking naps in his big fancy robe, and he liked comfy rides, right? And so it was normal for things to start this way. Prepare the way for the king, right? Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the paths for him. We don't want windy roads. We want it straight as we can get it, right? And John the Baptist was calling out the same thing. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the paths for him. And so, quite literally, it could mean prepare the way. Today, in today's world, when the president's traveling, they always send an advance team. Like, the people go out ahead. I'm not military. I don't know all this fancy stuff. But based on the books and the articles, they send an advance team. Like, these guys go out ahead. They scope out the place. They make sure things are safe. They make sure that the path to which the president's going from A to B is as clean and as straight and as calculated and as estimated. And you can guarantee what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And they make the path straight. They also send a big crew of guys ahead of him and behind him and all around him to keep him safe in his straight path as that was prepared for his arrival. And so, again, book of Isaiah, nothing outrageously surprising here, okay? Make way the path for the Lord. So John the Baptist is out declaring it. Isaiah is saying this is going to happen, right? And here we go. Into verse 5, we're going to pick back up. And it says, every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. Okay, literally makes sense. We're trying to make a smooth path for the king. We're trying to make a clean road for his travels. We're going to shave down any mountains, right? We're going to knock through this stuff. We're going to try and make it straight. We're going to fill up anything that's too low or too bumpy or too not safe. The crooked roads, we're going to try to find a straight one, right? And the rough paths, we're going to try our best to make it smooth because the king is coming. Quite literally read. And a lot of times, how I would read this. But with Dan's help and some commentaries, there's a different way that they read this. See, the coming of Christ was more than the arrival of a baby. obviously, right? It was more than arrival of a baby. He was coming as a savior, as the one who will save all. We'll read about that in a minute. But he was coming as a savior. And so John the Baptist wasn't just preaching, hey guys, somebody important is coming. It was, hey guys, change your life. Big things are about to happen. Get yourself straight. And so when you read these verses, you can read it the same way as in those who are low in self-esteem, those who are struggling with confidence, they can be filled. With those who are high and boastful, they can be lowered. Those who are crooked and thieves, they can be become clean and straight. And those who are rough in their ways, abrasive, they can be made smooth. See, preparation was quite literally preparing a path for the arrival of the king, but it's also quite literally preparing yourself for what's about to come. Preparing us as individuals, preparing your heart, preparing your mind, preparing yourself for a season of remembrance of the arrival of a Savior. See, literal translation's great, but when you look at this in a different light, it creates a whole new urgency to this season, to these verses, to the arrival of Jesus, to what John the Baptist was saying and doing. It's a bold statement. Get yourself together. Be prepared for what's to come, because it's big. He's big, and he is the only one that'll save you. And so, moving into verse 6, I saved this one for last, because I read this a couple times and was like, holy cow, I never seen it this way either. Verse 6 pretty simply says, and all people will see God's salvation. And all people will see God's salvation. So when the path was prepared for the king, when John the Baptist was literally saying, guys, let's get ourselves a clean shot for what's about to come, right? Let's get ready for the Lord coming. Everybody is going to see his salvation. Cool. Literally, it fits. Metaphorically, when our hearts are prepared, when Jesus is working, when you allow God to work in you and I, to take the high boastfulness that we have sometimes, to take the low down places that we live in sometimes, to take the big mistakes that make us crooked, when we allow God to work in our lives to correct us, through us, all people will see God's salvation. They'll see his saving grace, his love. They see it through you and I, and you get it. You get it. See, preparation is one of those things, I think it kind of just becomes a rush. Because we're busy. There's things going on in my life. My kids, my house, my work, my whatever, my church, my ministry, my activities, hobbies, hunting, yada, 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 yada. There's so many things going on that I don't have time to prepare for everything. So I'll kind of make do with what's there. You know, I will pick up fast food. You know what? There's food. Chick-fil-A is always open except for Sundays. And when Sundays aren't open, Taco Bell is. Right? I can grab something fast. Who needs to prepare? Right? Work, the meeting's going to get here. I can listen to it on the way, on the road. I can read it in the parking lot. I'll prep myself for this. I've done it 1,000 times. Why do I need to be prepared? Right? Man, that thing, those people are coming to the house, and it's going to be, you know, my family and whatever, and they're not church-going people, and they're not church-going. So are we going to pray at dinner? Are we not going to? I'll just wing it. The kids will be fine, whatever. Let's make it happen. Right? We live a life in so much chaos, and a lot of times preparation is difficult. But in the book of Luke, in these verses we just read, we see the importance of preparation. See, you being prepared, you being balanced, you being in God's word, living in a life of faith and in trust, following and correcting as much as you possibly can with how we interact and how we react and how we respond to all that's around us, that allows people to see God's salvation. When your lows can be brought up because of the love of God, through the love of God, when your highs can be brought down and been humbled, when your crooked ways are made straight, when you are prepared, you become a way for others to see who Jesus was, what he did. And that is the purpose for leading into Christmas. It should be a reminder. Jesus came. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be prepared. We need to be out in the wilderness, not just saying it, but living it. We need to be out at work. We need to be with our families, not just saying it, but living it. We need to spend the time. We need to wake up early. I hate saying that. We need to wake up early and do our thing, right? So that we are prepared for our day. I do not like waking up early. And I'm glad Maddie stepped out because she'd be back there like, amen, amen. Right? Because she's like, she's really good at that kind of stuff. But we need to be prepared. We need to get ourselves ready because what's coming in Christmas is not only allowing a lot of people who a lot of times don't go to church other than Christmas and Easter, right? Or they're starting to feel something stirring in them and they're kind of interested. When we're ready, when we're balanced, when we're prepared, we can help show them who Jesus is. We also need to be prepared for what's to come. For what's to come. Have you spent the time preparing yourself for Jesus' return? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's not going to be that much of a surprise. We don't know exactly when. But it's not going to be that much of a surprise. Different sermon. But it's coming. It's coming one day. And we need to be the best we can to help those around us. We need to be the best we can for us to be able to stand strong in our faith, for us to be able to stand tall in crazy, chaotic moments. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared because our God, who saves all who want him, who saves our saving God, our Savior, is coming back for you and I. And if we're not prepared, it's going to be like punched in the face. You're going to be like, one day, oh, crud, what just happened? You know? And nobody likes getting punched in the face, right? Hit him in the mouth. No, nobody likes getting punched in the face. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to spend some time in preparation. So for you today, are you ready for salvation? Have you made the choice to follow Jesus? Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean you have to have everything leveled. The mountains need to be small and the lows need to be filled and whatever. Doesn't mean that everything needs to be fixed. You know what it means? I trust this guy and I'm going to do what I can to get closer to everything being fixed. But it doesn't all have to be together. Have you made that choice? Have you decided, where did this fly come from? Have you decided that, right, sorry. Have you decided that you're choosing to follow what God says, who he is, to dive in a relationship with him, to learn more about him, to grow, to develop, to try to be the best you can for others, for yourself, and for God? Have you made that choice? If you haven't and you want somebody to talk to, if you want to talk to PD, that's great. He's not here today. I'm sorry. But you can send an email to info@nvcnorthvalleychurchmdmaryland.org. And PD gets it. I guarantee you he will set up a time to meet with you. I guarantee you he will have the best set of listening ears you've found in a long time. PD is a professional at listening to what's going on. And I guarantee you he will do his very best to help you to understand what that means, what that looks like, how that relationship is. If you don't want to meet with PD and for some reason you look at me and you're like, you know what, I don't want to talk to Grant. I'm open to it. I'm happy to talk to you. I'm happy to do my best to try to be PD-like and be a good listener, but I also like to talk, so I apologize in advance. But I will do my best. I will do my best to fill you in because it is important. Being prepared matters. Those of you who have already made that decision, are you prepared for a season of remembrance? Are you prepared to be a light in the darkness as we get closer to Christmas, where the darkness starts to recognize there's light. See what I did there? Good job. Are you prepared to be the light? If not, today is a wonderful day to start working on it. Tomorrow, even better. But don't wait after tomorrow, because nobody knows, right? Nobody knows when you're going to need it. So are you prepared? And lastly, if you've got a relationship with God, if you're working on it, you know you're not perfect, but you're doing good. Are you preparing others? Are you helping others understand the importance of being prepared? The importance of what Isaiah was speaking at before John the Baptist showed up, the importance of what John the Baptist was doing before Jesus showed up. Are you prepared to have those kind of conversations? And are you preparing others for the arrival of Jesus, for the remembrance of Christmas and what the actual season is about? Are you preparing others? Because if we're not, then we're not doing it right. It's great for you to be prepared, but if those around you aren't, that's not so great. So, as we continue this week, my prayer is that you guys recognize the preparation that needs to come into place in your life. You recognize what you need to be prepared for what's coming this season, and you recognize those who need help being prepared, and you do it. Because preparation is action. If you're not actively preparing yourself, you're going to fail. Your turkey's going to catch on fire along with your deck in your house. Your drywall's going to look disgusting, right? Your pork is not going to taste good. It's just how it works. Please pray with me. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you've interacted with humanity. We thank you for what you did with the prophet Isaiah, leading the way for John the Baptist. We thank you for what John the Baptist did, leading the way for us. And Father, we just thank you for those who are around us, who are excited, who are prepared, who are continuing to prepare. And Father, we pray that we are the ones who are focused, who stay focused and remember what's actually coming, who dive in and recognize our low and our high spots, our crooked spots, our rough spots, and pray and work hard on correcting those. Father, I pray that we're able to just get ourselves so close to balance that those around us recognize that there's something special going on within us, that it becomes an intriguing point, that it just surprises those around us, and that they look to us for what's going on in our lives. Father, I pray that we are so prepared for what's coming this Christmas and for what's to come in the future. I just thank you for who you are, for what you've given us. And I pray over the remaining of our day that we're able to just stay focused on the preparation that needs to happen. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.